I'm Aaron Pednotti, and today I'm interviewing David Howard King about his role in investigating public integrity in New York State. David is the editor and associate publisher of the Capital Region's new alternative news weekly, The Alt. He spent 7 years covering state government from a New York City perspective for the Gotham Gazette. In 2012, he served as the state reporter for the Center for Public Integrity's State Integrity Investigation that was backed by Public Radio International. He's the winner of multiple New York Press Association awards, including Writer of the Year 2007 and Feature of the Year. He started his journalism career through an internship at Metroland, Albany's defunct Alt Weekly. He was hired there later that year, and that was a fitting start to his career, as the Alt has filled the gap left by the demise of Metroland, coming to serve as the leading weekly source of alternative news for the Tri-City area. David, thanks for taking the time to talk with me today. I'm looking forward to talking to you about your investigative work and reporting on public integrity.
Thanks for having me.
To start out, can you give us some information on the Center for Public Integrity? What is it about and what does it do?
Well, so, it set out with Public Radio International and a few other partners to sort of gauge how states regulate themselves and how they how open they are to the public, how ethical they are, and how transparent they are, so that folks can understand how their laws are being made and how much an input regular people can have into the laws as they're being made.
Okay, so can you give us an idea of what the state integrity investigation is in a general sense? First of all, is it something that still happens? Does the Center for Public Integrity carry out one of these investigations every year?
So from what I understand, they have stopped doing it. I know some good government groups are interested in carrying it on in New York State, but I believe at this point it isn't continuing, but it certainly might come back. It was a very ambitious project in that they took actually a system that was developed to grade third world countries and dictatorships on, places that we look down on for the way they allow, citizens to be involved in government. And they took a lot of those rating tools and brought them over from nonprofits, around the world, and brought them to America to apply them on state government. Because, over the last 10 years, we have seen a real effort on the part of groups like ALEC, conservative think tanks, to really overtake local state government and implement rules that benefit corporations and donors more than they do the people. So they have these standards, and then they would hire a reporter in each state to go out and fill out this questionnaire, along with conducting hundreds of interviews with the key players, analyzing laws, analyzing the Constitution and the various institutions they had in place to enforce laws and police themselves. And so, the various aspects of this were sort of staggering, because you really had to become an expert in a lot of different things. And luckily, I had already been steeped in state politics for a little while. But given that there were different reporters for each state, it's hard to tell exactly what knowledge base they were coming from and what their perspectives were.
And how did it break down in terms of regional governments, municipal governments, city governments versus the state government? What was the
division? It was all just state government.
All just state government?
Yeah, okay. It was the 50 states. I think the idea was to try to get this system that was used for national governments to sort of work for state. And so the significance changes had to be made, and I think they were actually tweaking some of the system as we were working towards the end. And it took a lot of work, I know, on the back end that I wasn't privy to sort of get this program to process all the information.
And what sort of issues and stories in state government did they tend to investigate?
Well, I think sort of for New York, one of the most notorious sort of things that was happening at the time was that Governor Cuomo, in response to outcry about arrests of legislators and corruption and all that stuff, and impaneled the Moreland Commission, which was sort of something he could do through state law to bring together a group of folks to investigate corruption and what could be done to prevent it. And notoriously, it was reported that the members of this body were being pressured and monitored by the executive, and Cuomo's own people were there in the room checking their progress. And as soon as it sort of got close to his donors, it was cut short. And that, Preet Bharara, who's been in the news a lot lately, who was the federal investigator in Manhattan, the prosecutor, was really annoyed by this because he had brought a lot of cases against sitting legislators and even had a number of them wearing wires. He was so angry that he subpoenaed all the information from the defunct commission and said, now it's on my turf and now I'm going to look at everything, including the closing of the Moreland Commission. And I had sources at the time on the commission who just couldn't believe that this governor had the audacity to, they were sitting DAs and it had the audacity to point them at something and then say, nope, we're done, without coming to real conclusions.
Yeah, so during 2012, which was the year that you participated, what sort of issues did you personally investigate and what did you find out?
There were a lot of different aspects, from the state. Moreland was one way to look at corruption. The other way was the state, ethics body, which I believe that year was the governor sort of scrapped the old one and created a new one. And there was a lot of criticism because the appointees came from the legislature and the executive. So you had, they couldn't be sitting legislators, but the legislative leaders would say, oh, hey, here's my buddy who runs a law firm I do a lot of business with. I'll put him on there. So these guys were then in charge of deciding whether to bring a case against a sitting legislator. And I think one of the main principles of legislative leaders is that they say to their members, we're going to protect you. That's what we're here to do. So people who are embezzling, people who, sexual harassment claims against them, they made them go away or kept them as quiet as possible. And we've seen this repeatedly in Albany where they create these laws and institutions that they know how to get along, around very easily.
And as a journalist working for an investigation of a state government, and it's a investigation that's being, sponsored by a center, what exactly is your role? Is it writing up reports on what you've discovered to the investigative board itself, or does what you write get published, or is it sort of a staggered thing where it gets published eventually after it's been vetted by the people involved?
There were two portions and they were staggered. One was literally this system that not on like WordPress or something, but with all the questions, there were thousands of them, where you would rate one aspect and then you'd put in comments or you'd put in what you discovered. And then that was then processed by the center and compared, I think, with other states. And then they came up with a score, like a report card. And I believe my year in New York got a D-.
Wow.
I thought that was generous, but especially given all the hijinks going on with Jacob and all that stuff. And then I did write a story about Albany, and I don't remember a whole ton about the story at this point, but I do remember that the lead was something along the lines of, in New York, the word Albany is a dirty word because, it's sort of associated with corruption and dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. And where does that story get published?
That was through the Center for Public Integrity, ProPublica, and PRI. Public Radio International.
Okay.
You can find it still if you search for State Integrity Investigation.
So today we still hear a lot about corruption in New York State politics. In your capacity as a news editor and as someone who's investigated these things, how would you compare 2018 to 2012?
It's one of those situations where you never think it could get worse. In 2009, when I started covering the state government, there was the notorious...
when George W. Bush was president.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. it's a similar feeling. 2009 was... I started and I was completely naive, and then immediately there was a coup because while Democrats had technically won enough seats to control the Senate, Republicans cut a deal with Pedro Espada, who is this senator from the Bronx who ran this health clinic. Eventually he was busted for embezzling funds that were supposed to go to AIDS victims, and the Senate Republicans stood by him like, look at our great new partner, and everyone already knew this guy was not playing by the rules, and there was an accusation against him that he didn't live in his district in the Bronx. And so one of my first stories was he thought, oh, this new young reporter who doesn't know what he's doing, I'll invite him to my house, alleged house. And I get there, and of course, it looked a lot like a young people, you know, a young person's home, and it looked like it, you know, the kids lived there. And it seems pretty likely that it was his son's house, but they just said they had the grandkids over a lot, but it sure looked like they lived there. But anyway, so I followed him around for a lot longer than he expected and sort of got a great story out of it. But of course, what happened was because this guy was, you know, basically he had the key to the Senate, this guy who would very soon become a convicted felon. No legislation was passed. Nothing happened. The legislature sat paralyzed for months until Democrats sort of had to offer him enough to get him back on their side. And then they went back to legislating until the Republicans could then run and say, look, the Democrats were dysfunctional. They got nothing done. Forgetting to mention that they were the ones that had lured this Democrat, you know, who to their side.
Right.
So that was 2009. This year, we've started with the fact that the governor's best friend, someone that Mario Cuomo called his third son, is going on trial for corruption, for embezzling, or I believe for being involved in a bribery scheme through the Buffalo Billion, the governor's economic development program. Then we're having more folks go on trial throughout the year. Elaine Calieros from SUNY Poly. And then we also have this sexual harassment allegation against Senator Jeff Klein, who's part of these renegade Democrats that make the caucus with Republicans and sort of give Andrew Cuomo his Republican Senate that he likes so much because he can get conservative fiscal policies through with them. So it's shaping up to be a really crazy year, as always, perhaps a little more crazy than usual, especially because Cuomo seems to want to be president. So he's running for re-election to governor and running sort of, you know, putting his feelers out about being president.
All right. So how has all of this affected what you do at the Alt, the sense of mission, the sorts of stories that you investigate, things that are in the shadows that you might want to bring to light? How does it factor in?
It hurts a little bit because I thought I was escaping this. The corruption cycle is sort of depressing because it's every year you get more arrests for the same sort of things and no one fixes it. And you see the people's sort of issues being ignored and tossed to the side. We know why there's corruption in New York State. We know that it's very easy for companies to buy legislation, essentially. There are no real limits on their donations. And legislators just, you know, the Senate Republicans aren't even involved in passing laws they philosophically should want. They're only there to sort of get the governor's stuff done. And then their constituents are angry at them because they are involved in passing a lot of Democratic proposals the governor wants, but they get to sort of be a stopgap between liberal spending and progressive spending. So it's sort of sad to see that is still happening. And it's hard to resist telling those stories and diving into these things that I still have left over from my past. And one of our reporters, Luke Stoddard Nathan, is a real crackerjack of a investigative reporter. So now that I'm not just doing all the legwork, I do have other reporters who were really great at tracking this stuff down. And we've had some pretty big statewide scoops because there are some leftovers from my past that we've been able to look into a bit more. So it's exciting.
So but plenty of material
yes.
for an alternative independent news weekly to be investigating and good people investigating it.
Absolutely.
That's good to hear. Well, David, thanks for sitting down for this interview. It was really great talking to you. And very best of luck with the Alt, which is still kind of getting off the ground as a project, but seems to be doing very well.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.